You too. Summertime and the living is easy. Fish are jumping and the cotton.
Hey everyone, this is the Helping Friendly Podcast. We're back with a quick hit from the Klipsch Center. I just call it Deer Creek, but we're here with Art, who's at Great Divided Sky on Twitter. Art, thanks for joining us.
Yeah, thanks for having me, RJ.
I know you had sort of decided somewhat last minute to head out to Deer Creek. What was your journey like? And tell us a little bit about the scene as it unfolded with the weather and all that.
Yeah, so as the set list rolled in from Minnesota and Chicago, I just decided that technically, Deer Creek is the closest show to me this whole summer, living in North Carolina, besides Lawton. So I was like, all right, I should go. It's a Sunday show. I had never been to Deer Creek, and that was sort of a bucket list venue for me to check out. I left Asheville early in the morning, cruised up no problem, got to Lot, ripping Shakedown Street. It was just huge. All sorts of good, heady Lot merch.
Nice.
And they didn't really announce it. They didn't tell you as you came in that there was going to be the delay. So I didn't find out until a friend of mine sent me a text saying it was delayed. And then, lo and behold, yeah, there was supposed to be a storm rolling in. So they didn't let anyone inside till almost 8:30.
Wow.
And then the storm never really hit. It did rain, but, not any more than an average rain at a fish show. So, yeah, the band came on at about 9 o'clock and kicked it off hard.
And what was the, do you feel like that extra hour delay kind of like amped up the anticipation? Were people like extra fired up at that point?
Yeah, I do think that. I find that a lot of times when there's a rain delay, I'm reminded of the first year of The Man when there was a rain delay one night. A lot of times it gets the crowd really fired up and also kind of like antsy and anxious. It's like you take people's pre-show jitters and then like add a really intense hour onto it. By the time the band comes on, the crowd is just ready to let it all loose.
And how did they deliver? And the first set was interesting. A lot of good rockin' song choices. How did you feel that playing out?
I really enjoyed the set list. My friend opener. But my first two shows opened with My Friend, My Friend. That was a real treat to get that as an opener. And both of those shows were in 95. But yeah, so getting the My Friend, My Friend opener definitely set, a really fun tone. The crowd was really into it. I really enjoyed just the variety of the set list. The new song, I believe it's called Breath and Burning. I think that one will grow on me. And, I really liked the vibe of the first set, and the crowd was feeling it.
It's nice to the theme and the first tube closer is kind of a cool combo. A couple interesting jams, and I love first tube. I feel like I always want to hear it like as an encore or set closer. But they don't bust it out that often, so that's a pretty good treat.
Yeah, that's what I thought. I mean, theme is just one of those songs that always puts me into like my blissful spot, and then just blowing it up with first tube afterwards. It was kind of like exactly what the crowd wanted, and they didn't know that they wanted it yet. I heard a lot of people being like, oh, we're getting the Reba, and we're getting this. Everyone was saying we're getting stuff, but they didn't play it all. But then they gave us so much other stuff that, in my mind, felt a little unexpected, like a theme first tube closer and my friend, set one opener.
Yeah, that's awesome. You never know what you... Yeah, they don't deliver exactly what you want, but they'll deliver, which is awesome. And then the set two, couple good jams in there. We're going to include a clip from The Light for people to listen to, but what was your take on the second set?
So everyone was sort of wondering, what are they going to play? You kept hearing people throw out their expectations and stuff. And then when Trey started doing the wiki at the beginning of Punch You, it instantly focused the whole crowd. It was like everyone that was, scattered, getting their, space together, whatever. It brought everyone right in, and then, it just set the tone right, I thought. And then what did that go into afterwards?
That was in Back on the Train.
Back on the Train, that's right. Another one that just, it really kept the dance vibe going, and the song that the crowd was obviously super psyched to hear. And then when it dropped into The Light, you sort of felt that, the extra don't know, anticipation from the crowd of, like, what are they going to do now? Like, this seems like it could go big. And in my opinion, it did.
Nice. And definitely going to want to listen to that jam. And then into Golden Age, into Boogie On, which is nice little combo there. Golden Age wasn't too long, but nice to bust that out.
Yeah, I thought so, too. The Golden Age, it sort of worked with, like, the light into Golden Age sometimes. I know, you know, Trey likes to keep those themes in his set list writing. But, yeah, so we got a good little funky Golden Age jam that, like, it went so smoothly into Boogie On. It was probably one of my favorite drops into Boogie On I've ever seen Fish do.
Nice. Maybe we should include just a clip of that segue, too. It sounds like worth including for people who haven't heard it yet. What about the wingsuit? I love wingsuit. I feel like I don't see it very often. I'm a huge fan of the song. But how did that fall after that funky sort of segment?
So I'm also a huge wingsuit fan. That was one of my favorite songs off of the Fuego album. And so when they dropped into that, it's kind of what I needed because, at least in my opinion, everyone looked like they were dancing so hard, including myself. It was nice to get sort of that breather, but not really like a slow things down too much breather. Like, wingsuit kind of lets you breathe while still, like, taking you into outer space at the same time.
Right. Yeah, and then into Shade, which is an interesting choice, and then closing it out with Possum. Did you feel like you had, by the time Possum came, I don't know how, like, I'm sort of indifferent about Possum. Some people love it, some people hate it, but did you feel like you got your fill at that point?
Yeah, when it started to wind down, I mean, so I also love Shade a lot. That's one of my favorite new tunes. I think that line, I only like the shade when you're blocking the light, is one of the fishiest lyrics that Tom's written in those sort of songs. So when they dropped into Shade, again, it was like, I was super psyched to see it because the last one they played was in Nashville, I believe. So I'm glad to see that make a reappearance. And then as Shade's winding down, everyone's figuring what's the closer, and you just hear everyone going, yem, yem, yem. And so when Possum kicked up, I just laughed because I love Possum. It always gets me hyped. It's so danceable. And it's always just kind of like I don't know, I like seeing Fish, like, bash people's expectations, kind of. Possum at least sort of got that rep for
That'll
a while of, like, a most scrolling Fish fan.
Right, totally. And then a rock and roll encore, which is an interesting call. How was that?
Again, yeah, it just, like, it lit the place up, and it was just something no one was expecting. You know, I just kept hearing a lot of chatter in between songs about what they're going to do or what they've already played in Chicago, and yeah, Fish is just great at surprising us, and the rock and roll just shredded. It stayed pretty much, you know, a standard style type one, but, I mean, you know, Trey was just going off. It was amazing.
Nice. That's awesome. Well, thanks for the recap. I'm glad. I think this is probably worth your trip. I'm looking forward to seeing you at the Man tomorrow. But any big takeaways from this show, sort of walking out after?
Yeah, there was a couple that I'd like to mention. I really love when Paige came out to do Lawn Boy. He took off his glasses to sing the song in the most, like, Paige swanky way. And I was so happy to see the loving look that Trey gave Paige when he did that. So if you go ahead and listen to the Lawn Boy, Paige has got some extra swagger going on. And also during the Lawn Boy, when Mike takes his bass solo, Mike appears to have a Moog Little Fatty synthesizer keyboard on the floor in front of him next to all of his guitar pedals, and he was running his bass through it last night. So if you listen to Lawn Boy bass solo, it's Mike playing his bass through a Moog keyboard synthesizer.
That is awesome. I heard that. It's super, super funky little interlude there on the bass solo. I was wondering what that was because it sounds different from usual. That's pretty awesome. I liked hearing that. That's a pretty cool little thing to throw in there.
Yeah, and I wouldn't have noticed it. I lucked out and was in the pit last night, so I had a good view of Mike's system. And because I live in Asheville, where all the Moogs are made, I just recognized the keyboard.
Nice.
And I was like, what is this? And then he only seemed to use it during the Lawn Boy bass solo last night. All the other times he did his big bass booms was sounded like his Taurus pedal or an envelope filter or something like that. But, yeah, so Mike has a Moog keyboard as part of his bass pedal right now.
Got it. Nice. That's awesome. Those are good little tidbits. Thanks for sharing. And Art, you're on Twitter at Great Divided Sky, and thanks for being a good supporter of of this work we do, and I'm looking forward to seeing you at the Man tomorrow.
Yeah, thanks a lot, RJ. It was great talking with you.
All right, talk to you later. Thank you.
Take care.
Bye-bye.
Jumping and the cotton.